All right, we made it through the books of Samuel, huh? Cool, huh? Took a while, didn't it? I enjoyed doing it. Hope you enjoyed listening. So I was explaining to my wife, she said she was grabbing her Bible this morning. She brings it every week so she can follow along like we're supposed to do. And I said, you're not going to follow along today. No. This is we're doing the whole Bible today. Is that all right? We got 22 minutes. Can we do a polling? We can do the whole thing, can't we? It's going to be fast. Like Bert Jaika says, I speak more. He said, told me after he heard me preach, you speak more words in 1 hour than I speak all week. He said. So, I'm like, well, I do speak. There's a lot to say. And today I wanted to talk about. You see. In the book of Samuel ends up, it's God makes many, many promises. And sometimes it seems like, what is a promise? It means, I say, I promise I'll give you $100 next week. But there's always a if or a condition, right, Nancy? Promises, what are they? They're sort of threats too, aren't they, sometimes? Like, and I'm not going to be real philosophical about it because you know what promises are. And there's a condition to them. I'll do this, but then these things have to happen. Otherwise, I can't fulfill the promise. I'll break it. But we look in the Bible, and I found about 300 instances where God keeps his promise. And we're not going to do them. This was just in a one day looking at it. Well, we're going to go over a few things that God always keeps his promises. Is that a good thing? It depends on who's on the other end of it, right? God says, if you do this, then this will happen to you. And I think these are things that we miss in the real life. As I watch the people on NBC at the Olympics mock God, mock the one that makes them a promise, and they mock him, and it doesn't make sense to me. And I try to figure it out, and we know church attendances are climbing around the world, not here. You know, we love coming here because of we know that God is here. So I think of promises, and he keeps them, and that's a scary thing because we love some of the promises. I'm going to love you forever. That's a good one. But we say, because we see in the book of Genesis in chapter 8 and 9, there's a man named Noah, and God doesn't like what he's built. He doesn't like how creation is turning out as far as humanity. Everything he made was good, he said, for those 6 days. But then, man, we messed up, didn't we, because we fell in the garden. And he tells Noah to build an ark, and Noah builds the ark. And he follows it to a T. He gives him the rules, right? It's got to be so 300 feet long and 150 feet wide, and go grab two of every animal and seven of others and do what I tell you. And he does what he tells them. And they sit there for 40 days and 40 nights, and it rains. And he spends another 150 days upon the water. And when the water drains away, forms the Grand Canyon of Pennsylvania up there in Wellsboro, Noah sits back and he offers to God an offering. And the Lord smells the pleasing aroma, and he said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil. And again, I will never destroy all living things as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night will never cease. God makes a promise to us to never destroy us again like that. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the Lord talks to a man named Abram. He will later call him Abraham. He says, I got something for you to do. You got to leave your country. You got to leave your people and your father's household and go to a land that I will show you. And I got a promise for you, Abraham. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless all those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all people on earth will be blessed because of Abraham. Here's a promise. Do what I say. And Abraham does it, doesn't he? He keeps his part of the deal. He gets up, and he's an old man. He leaves. He's comfortable where he is, living in the city of Ur. It's a modern city. You can go there today. Did you know that? And they still have temples there, and they have libraries there from this time. It's still there. It's Iraq, so you're probably not going to go there. But it is still there today. I got a promise for you. Do what I say. And he does it. He gets up and he just starts walking. In Genesis 16, the Lord finds Hagar. That's his mistress that his wife encouraged them to take, right? Remember, they decided to start their own family on their own. not a good idea. God says, I'm going to bless you. But he says, let's get things going. Take Hagar, his wife's suggestion. She runs away from her mistress Sarah because Sarah mistreated her after she became pregnant and had a child. And the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. And the angel said to her, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. You are pregnant now and you will give birth to a son and you shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. This is God's promise. It's true today, isn't it? The people of the Middle East are from this line of Hagar and Ishmael, and they're fighting together, aren't they? We see it on the front page today. God keeps his promise. That's not a good promise to keep, right? We want the fun ones. But this is him being true. Genesis 18, one of the three men came to visit Sarah and Abraham at the tent there at Mamre, and Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent. Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah was way past the age of childbearing. She laughed, and she thought, they said, she will be, when we come back in 1 year, your wife will have a child. And she laughed. The Lord says, why did you laugh? She says, I didn't laugh. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return at the appointed time next year, and you will have a son. And of course, she did. God keeps his promises, doesn't he? Genesis 22, God tells Abraham once again, I swear by myself that because you have done this and you've not withheld your only son, Isaac, from me, I will bless you, and I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And your descendants will take possession of this land. And you will be blessed because of me, because you've obeyed me. Promises, promises. He keeps them. Genesis 28. He had a dream. This is Jacob when he saw on a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there the Lord stood. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And I'm going to give you and your descendants the land which you are lying in. And your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The Lord is in this place, Jacob says. God keeps that promise. We're going to be blessed through him. Boy, that's a lot of promises. We're not even out of Genesis yet. We got 65 more books to do. How much time you got, Phil? You got all day? I could talk a dog off a meat truck, they say. Here's a promise. Obey my laws. Do not make images. Do not bow down before anything else, because I, the God, am jealous. And I will punish the sin of the parents and for the fourth and the fifth generations of those who hate me. But those who love me, I will show my love for 1,000 generations of those who keep my commandments. Here's a promise. You disobey me, and there will be a consequence. Joshua 6. We're moving on now a little bit. Joshua destroyed the city of Jericho. It was against the people of God, and he went in. And they gave him a chance, didn't they? They gave him 7 days, didn't they? They gave him 7 days to leave, and they didn't leave. They didn't surrender. They marched around it on the seventh day. They blew the trumpets. It fell down. And what happened to all the people in the city? They were destroyed, weren't they? Every single one. But they were given a chance. And then Joshua cursed that city. He said, cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this. His firstborn will die. And this city will never be rebuilt again. In 1 Kings, we see Hiel. He tries to rebuild it, and his son is killed, and the city falls again. God's promises come true. Let's hear about a terrible promise from Judges 11. There was a judge named Jephthah, and he made a vow to the Lord, if you give the Ammonites, my enemies, into my hands, whoever comes out of the door of my house when I go to return, I will offer as a sacrifice to the Lord. This is a terrible promise, isn't it? Whoever, if you give me victory in battle, the first person I see, I will sacrifice. So he wins. God gives him victory over the Ammonites. And what happens when he walks home? Who does he see coming out of his house? He sees his daughter, doesn't he? His daughter comes out. She's happy to see him. And he's distraught. And she agrees with his plan. We must obey the Lord and our promises. but give me 2 months to dance around the fields with my friends, and then I'll come back. And he did what he promised he would do. You see, the people of Samuel's time, we're talking about Eli and Hannah, and then Samuel and David, they know they have this information, right? It's in front of them. They get to read this, and so do we. We get to see what God wants from us. He gives us 10 simple laws, right? And we break them all the time. He gives us these promises of riches and rewards. Not riches, but salvation. And we look at it and we turn away from it. And so we see this man, David, and David is pure. He's like a man after God's own heart. Did you all see David last week? It was free on TV. Did you all get it? I forgot to tell you. Did you see it? Oh, it's not on DVD yet. They're holding it out on us because it's so good. It was wonderful. It took me 4 hours to watch it because I had to eat something in the middle. But it was what a beautiful thing, and I always weep, and my wife's embarrassed for me because it's so, and because it's like all these people come together. You know how hard it is to get us to sing on a Sunday? Can you imagine when it's 150 singers and donkeys and everything and Philistines and that 20-foot Goliath came down off the stage, and it's just amazing, and to get it all together, and it's... And they sing so much scripture, it's so true, and I just weep because it's so good. And I wish I was talented and could be a part of it, but they, you know, maybe I could be a stagehand. But you see, David comes and he knows what the Lord wants, and he does so well. He obeys God, and he sings praise to him, and he becomes the king, and he's faithful, and he doesn't kill the Lord's anointed when he's given the chance, and he waits for his time, and he's patient. And God blesses him, and he's the king, and he's undefeated in battle, and there's peace in the land, prosperity. Jerusalem is the new kingdom. And they look around, and he looks around, and what does he see? He's got five wives or six. He should be happy with what he has, but he sees something that doesn't belong to him, and he wants it. And so he takes her because that's what you can do as a king, right? When you're the king, you can take what you want, and he does. And so he's caught in this lie, and he thinks that he can kill an innocent man, that the blood of an innocent man will take away his sin, but it doesn't. Not the man of our choosing, but the man of God's choosing. Only that blood will take it away. And in Samuel 12, second book, he says, "Now therefore the Lord promises to David, the sword will never depart from your house. Because you despised me, the Lord says, you despised my commands, and you took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says, on your household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and I will give them to one who is close to you. He will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do it in public." David said, "I have sinned against the Lord. The Lord has taken away your sin, Nathan says. You're not going to die. But by doing this you have shown contempt for the Lord, and the son born to you will die." And after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. So David, we love this story of David, and we see him there in Psalm 51 where he says, "Create in me a new heart." He's contrite. He recognizes that he has sinned against God, and God is forgiving him, but he's still stuck with these consequences. He says, "The sword will never depart your house." And so we see, as he's raising up children, raising up a family, we see a son named Amnon last week who took his sister, his half-sister, and took her to bed. And she was, after that, she was used goods. And so her brother Absalom, the handsome young with the 5 pounds of hair, came after her, waited 2 years, and finally took his revenge on Amnon and had him slain. Absalom thinks he should be the king. So he gets this guy named Abner to help him, to be his second in command. And they go out and they're victorious and they're gathering people, warriors. And then Joab and his who works for David, and they meet on the battlefield. And they catch Absalom. He's hanging in a tree because his beautiful hair is stuck. And they slay him. Then Joab slays Abner. And Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, is slain. And then Joab is slain. And then Adonijah, he's another guy. He wants to be the king. So he gathers an army, and he's thinking he's the one. But then Nathan comes and says, They had declared him to be king. Make Solomon king. So David makes Solomon king. So that we have got two kings again. There can only be one, right? How do we solve this? Peacefully? No, but with the sword. So Solomon has Adonijah slain. And then they have Joab slain. Everyone is getting, you know how you have peace in the world? You get rid of all your enemies the hard way, right? Now there's peace. Is this God's way or is this man's way? You may watch the news every once in a while, and what do candidates for any office do to the other one? You see it every day. They knock them down, right? Do you ever get tired of it? All the promises come true on David. Your house will be calamitous. Many will die by the sword in your house. And that's how your peace is going to come. You see, God's plan through it is all through is that the that his all right, gotta fix myself. You see, God's plan is to raise up someone through this line of David, right? And we don't know which one. Which one's the best one? Maybe it was Amnon would have been good, but he was full of sin. Or maybe it would have been Adonijah, but he had too much sin. Or how about Absalom? He was too highly of himself. It wasn't him. It was Solomon. What did Solomon do? He slain everyone. Why is he the one chosen? And we see later, maybe next week, we'll talk about what he asked God for. He asked God for wisdom, and God was so pleased with him. God takes these weak and broken people, and he says, I'm going to bring something through you. I'm going to bring the greatest promise I have, and that's where we're going to go way back. Let's go back to Genesis again. You ready? Genesis 3. The Lord said to the woman, why have you done this? Why did you take the apple and eat it? The woman said, it was the serpent's fault. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals, and you will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. There's a promise there. We know who the serpent is. It's the accuser. It's Satan. It's the devil, right, Phil? Who that is, he turns us away from God. We broke his rule. Got one rule in the garden, don't eat that tree. And we ate the tree. And so we're kicked out of paradise. And you see the rest of the story. We're looking to get back in. And God keeps talking to us and giving us rules to show us how to live. And we listen for a few minutes. And then it wears off. We forget. We go back to our sinful ways. One day he's going to send someone to crush the snake, to crush the serpent. And that's Jesus, of course. We know that. Jesus come, and he will crush the serpent. And God keeps his promise. Paradise is lost to us, but it's going to come back to us. And where do we hear that story? It's Revelation 21. We hear this story at funerals, but it's also the gift of life here. John writes, then he saw a new heaven and a new earth. And for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice on the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God. They will be my children. But the cowardly and the unbelieving and the vile, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice magic arts and idolaters and all sorts of liars, Where will they be? They will be in the lake of burning sulfur, for this is the second death. God is going to keep his promise. We haven't seen this one yet, have we? All the other promises we've seen come true. I'm going to raise up a son. I'm going to raise up someone to crush Satan, and he did. All these promises, and they all come true, and this is the last one. This gets us back. We were in paradise, weren't we? Don't you want to be back there? Where all we have to do is name animals and eat fruits except for that one. And to be unashamed. To be naked and unashamed. Anybody like walking in front of a mirror naked? Not me. You think I would, but I don't. I go, oh, let's go. Where's that towel? You know, the cats don't mind you being naked. They walk around the shower with you. They don't care. They like you for who you are. But look at his promise. The garden is not for you anymore. I'm going to put an angel in front of it with a flaming sword. You can't get back unless you know who Jesus is. And then you can come back into this new heaven, this new earth that's going to come one day. We're afraid, aren't we? It's election year. Every 4 years we get afraid, don't we? If this person gets elected, that one, it's not going to be good. What does he say? It doesn't. We're in the middle. It was great in the beginning, and it's going to be great in the end. And we're worried about this middle part, aren't we? Middle age of this world. And we're in the end times. We know that. And there's all this. This is what we're going to get. Do you see that? We learned in Samuel, who's in charge? Who picks the king? You think it's your votes? It's not your vote. It's who God chooses. Do you have any faith in that? Do you have any faith that this is where we're headed, Phil? This new Jerusalem, this is what's important. And when we'll be crying there, there'll be no death, there'll be no pain, no crying. Dorothy's necks will be fixed. My back will be fixed. What do you think of that? Is that where your faith is? And sure, we should get out and vote. And if you like one more than the other, well, you should encourage your friends to talk, have a civil conversation. My son was talking to his friend's mom, and she's very pro one way or the other. I won't tell you, but he says, I can't even talk to her. That's not a way to be. Talk. I love him. Her brother comes over to see us, and he says, well, I don't want to offend you. I said, tell me exactly what you're thinking, Dan. Let's have an honest talk, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking. What do you think of that? And let's not get mad. And we have great talks because the women go to bed, and we stay up till 2 o'clock solving the world's problems. Do you see how good he is? He's got a plan for us. He's got a promise. It was good in the beginning. We messed it up, and he's going to make it right. You're not going to make it right. He's going to make it right. The next person we elect is not going to make it right. He's going to make it right. How beautiful it's going to be. No more tears. We sit graveside, don't we, many, many times, and we read these words. And we cry, and the preacher's trying to tell us, don't cry, because things are going to be different. A new heaven, a new earth. We're not going up there. It's coming down here. And we're going to live for 1,000 years, which means forever in peace. And God will be our God, and we will be his people. Isn't this wonderful news to hear today? He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning, and he's the end. Are you thirsty? He's going to give you free water of life. All those who are victorious will inherit this. I will be your God, and you will be my children. This is trustworthy, and this is true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. Some promises they sound like threats. If we don't do this, this bad thing will happen. That's the reality. We must obey you. We must obey your commandments. There will be judgment. We will be judged by what we chose to do with the free will that you gave us. We need to confess of our sins, to lay them at your feet, for you to take away, to separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. You promised you would do this if we confess to you, if we call on the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, who is Savior. Because one day you say, every knee shall bow before Jesus and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. The name above all names, he is Lord. What do we have to fear? We fear no man. We fear the Lord. It's in his name we gather, and we go, and the people we say, amen.